Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. The song was, go and tell somebody. That is a fact. We need to go out and share the good news of God. Good evening. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. You know, I was thinking before the show started that how wonderful it is to be able to share God's word. To be in a position where you once used to just want to entertain yourself, you were so self-conscious, you were never even entertaining the idea of being Christ-conscious. But now, being saved, being born again, being set free, it is such a freedom that gives a certain peace that surpasses my human understanding. It gives me that unspeakable joy. Why? Because I know God loves me. I have value. I have purpose. As he said, you need to know the reason why God chose you, because you have purpose to go and tell the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, your grace, your extending hand to us, Father God, and forgiveness of our sins. Father God, because of that, we can come to the throne boldly, to glorify your name, to magnify your name, to say hallelujah to your name, because Jesus is Lord. Father God, you've been so wonderful to give us another week, Father God, to prepare for this moment, Father God, to receive the knowledge and the wisdom that only you can give, that can help us to mature spiritually, to be able to walk by faith and not by sight. To be able, Father God, to know that we have value with you, Father God. Because we have value with you, we are somebody. We are somebody. We are somebody. Thank you, Father God. And because you love so much, Father God, we can say with authority that it is written that you love us. And that we have now the power through the Holy Spirit to go forward and be victorious in you. Because it is written, Father God. Why? Because you loved us. You sent your son. You sent the word to redeem us from our own destruction and to forgive us of our sins. Why? Because you love us. That gives us value. Father God, it's such a privilege to be able to talk about you. But I know that comes from building an intimate relationship with you, building a walking, talking, communicating way, Father God, that true understanding comes within our spirit so that we now understand, Father God, the purpose for our life. But that's when we spend this time with you. And Father God, spending this time with you, we want to let the world know about you, your goodness, your mercy, your grace, all the benefits that you give us when we're not even worthy to even receive anything. But yet you sent Jesus, so we know you give us every good thing. So, Father, right now I pray for everyone that is on this line and who is not. Matter of fact, Lord, I pray for the world, the country, the states, the cities, the communities, the neighborhoods, the families, and every individual, the entity, Father God, that they come to know you. And as they come to know you, Father God, they want to emulate Jesus Christ. And as they emulate Jesus Christ, they become the leaders that they should be. To be able to lead the people to the victory, Father God, to set them free from the captivity that we once had when our mind was saturated with the world. Father God, I pray that you bless them, Father God. If they need healing in their body, bless their body right now. That every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, and system not only operates in the divine condition that you intended to be, but sickness, disease, Father God, will be warded away from them. Sickness and disease cannot even come upon them. And if they happen to have it, Father God, as you said in 919, affliction shall leave their body and not return. I thank you, Father God. Father God, if they're in financial stress right now because of the economy, the things that are out there that are making people believe, Father God, you're not in control. Father God, I thank you that you blessed them with the windows of heaven blessing, that they wouldn't even have room left to contain it, Father God. So then they would know, Father God, that as you sent the mammon down to your people, Father, they would know the power of you. See, Father God, I pray that they believe your report and not the world's report. Thank you, Father God. If they have relationships, a communication problem within their relationship, Father God, mend the relationships with love. Seal it, Father God, with love. Let them recognize the power of love. Let them recognize that, Father God, that love requires them to be patient and kind. Love requires them, Father God, not to be jealous of others or envy of others. This love, Father God, rejoices in your truth and not in evil doing. This love, Father God, will not keep no record of wrong so they can communicate because they don't have that division. Build that relationship, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that this love will be slow to anger and quick to listen, Father God. Quick to listen, Father, and slow to speak. I pray that this love, Father God, that you give, they will recognize your love always preserve, always protect, always give hope, and always has trust, Father God. That trust, Father God, that never, never fails because you are love. I pray the mending of these relationships. Father God, I thank you. Whatever need, whatever struggle, whatever challenge that any of the individuals are dealing with, Father God, speak to their heart. If their heart is turned to stone, turn it back to flesh. Create in them a clean heart and renew the right spirit in them. Help them to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, letting their old go away when they don't look in the rearview mirror, but they look out the window, the front, the window shield, Father God, and they know where they're going. They know where they're going. Thank you, Lord. They know where they're going. Why? Because you have a plan for their life. Father God, I thank you that you just bless everyone under the sound of my voice. And I ask you, Lord, it's not about the messenger. It's all about the message. Let the power of your message go forth, Father God. Let me decrease. Let the Holy Spirit increase. As you gave Moses and Aaron, I think you gave me the Holy Spirit for me to move out the way and let the Holy Spirit rise up to bring all things to my remembrance. So, Father God, those under the sound of my voice will be blessed by the power of you. I praise you and I honor you and I glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'm just so thankful to be able to do this. I've done a lot of things in my life, but this is the most greatest reward outside of my three children. I just feel so blessed to do this. I'm just so thankful right now. I'm so full. But as we go forward, let's look at the quotes today. Those who judge will never understand, and those who understand will never judge. I like to always say, that don't judge to criticize, judge to understand. Because as you get understanding, it moves you away from the right and wrong to get it to the clarity of the meaning that you're searching for. Hallelujah. Learning is a journey from fact to knowledge, on to understanding, and eventually to wisdom. The wisdom gives you the true clarity of what needs to be done in the most appropriate fashion in the situation that you're in. And then everything that irritates us about others can lead us to understanding of ourselves. I often tell a beautiful friend of mine, I say that everything we want to know about the world, we can just look in our own family. There's some behavior, some characteristic trait, something that is being displayed that as we go out outside our door, we'll see it again. And if we look closely in the mirror, we'll see it right there. And here, no one is perfect. That is why understanding is so important. See, everybody got a story. Everybody got a story. No one is a product of now. Everyone is a product of their yesterday that has produced them now to prepare them for tomorrow. And as they prepare for tomorrow, hoping the lessons that they experienced from the past will not be so painful, so overwhelming, because pain comes in two forms. Either pain can hurt you and stifle you, or it can prepare you to greatness. It comes in two ways. There's always a lesson there. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us in Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be in constant prayer. Constant prayers. We were talking in Bible study today. It's consistency, because the Bible tells us the race is not given to the swift or the strong, but him that endure to the end. See, it's not about your attributes in the physical sense. It's about what God is working through you, through Christ's attributes, that will allow you to keep fighting the good fight of faith, to stay in the race, to complete your race. But you have to stay consistent. And you have to stay consistent because you have to have that ability to be in a race. You've got to continue to stay in the race. And then in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. It's easy to give up. It really is. You just quit. You just quit. You just think to yourself, what's the point? I just quit. And I get it. For the many people I have had to be first responder to suicidal situations, basically people lost hope. They were giving up. They were quitting. This journey is always talked about, no one was meant to walk it alone. I know that because God said it wasn't good for man to be alone. But when you have no hope, you can't see the future, you don't understand how the future is going to play out, you don't have the patience to hang in there, well, you can grow weary. But again, we have to look at it. It's not within us that gives us that strength. It's within Christ. And then Romans 8:25 say, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Everything that has been created comes from the unseen world, even a child. Before that child was even manifested, it was non-existing. But over a nine-month period, again, if all things go well, a nine-month period, there's a manifestation of life. But in the interim, it could not be seen. So one had to be patient those 9 months, and we see the things that people do to come, what they call it, announcing party, letting you know what the sex is, and people celebrating and what have you, but they're anticipating. The only way you can anticipate is to exercise patience. And see, Proverbs tells us that the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And James 1:2-4 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God wants us to be complete and whole, lacking in nothing. But we have to realize that it's essential for us to allow patience and understanding to have this perfect work. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that required patience, required love, and it shows us understanding is all about, even at various levels. The old man, his wife, and the doctor. I'm a doctor working at a little clinic. At about 8:15 on Tuesday morning, an old man in his 80s walks into my clinic to get some stitches he had received out a few days prior. It was a busy morning. I asked him to please sit and wait. patience. He told me he was in a rush, as he had a very important engagement at night. I couldn't help notice that he kept checking his watch. I decided to treat him since the doctor in charge was extremely busy, and I knew it would take at least an hour until he could see him. I took the bandages off and saw that the wound was healing nicely. While I was gently pulling out the stitches, I asked him, "Where are you off to that is so important than getting your stitches taken out? Was it another doctor's appointment?" The gentleman said, "No, not a doctor. I'm going to have breakfast with my wife, who is in the hospital." "Why is she in the hospital, if I may ask?" "She has been in there for a few years now, young man. She has Alzheimer's and needs constant care." I finished taking out the stitches, and I asked the man if his wife would be worried if he was just a little late for breakfast. He said, "No." He said quietly, "She never will. She hasn't recognized me in over 5 years. I was astonished by this and just had to ask, "And you go to her every morning, although she doesn't know who you are?" The gentleman smiled, put his hand on mine, and said, "She may not know who I am, but I know who she is, and I remember for both of us." And he shook my hand and thanked me and left, and I was standing there, body shaking in sudden emotion for the expression of love. And as we move into another story, this is about unconditional love. Love ties into understanding and patience. Many years ago, when I worked as a volunteer at a hospital, I got to know a little girl named Liz, who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance to recover appeared to be from a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed the antibodies needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to the little brother and asked the little boy if he would be willing to give his sister some of his blood. I saw him hesitate for only a moment before taking a deep breath and say, "Yes, I'll do it if it saves her life." As the transfusion progressed, he laid in the bed next to his sister and smiled, as we all did. Seeing the color return to her cheeks, then the face grew pale on his face and his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with trembling voice, "Will I start to die right away?" Being young, the little boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought he was going to give his sister all his blood in order to save her. And he was willing to do that for her. He wasn't just giving her his blood, he was willing to give his life. Love is about understanding and patience. Why? Because love causes you to be patient in any given situation. As we note in 1 Corinthians 4:13-4, love is patient. We have been so conditioned to the philosophy of the world that we sometimes lose sight of what really is important or what really gives life true meaning. However, from a child's heart, it shows us that love is about willing to give one's life for someone else. Even when you have childlike understanding, yet you still give anyway. See, Matthew 18:15 says, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change me, enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes lowly position ever welcomes and as we become more seasoned with adult life, we can begin to see the value of love that causes not only to show patience, but to understand the power that love has, for it will always preserve the love shared. It will always protect the one who is loved. It will always keep hope alive, and the one can always trust that the one experiencing the love will know that they are loved. Why? Because you know that having understanding and patience is all about what God is. For we know this, God is love. So we're going to recap a little bit of last week's session, which is the power of understanding and patience having their perfect work. We spoke about how life brings about so many complexities that pushes our capacity to have, maintain, display patience and understanding in any given situation or challenge, causing us at times to question our faith. To the point it would appear it's like a roller coaster ride where we just when we think we got a grip on our emotions and thoughts, life takes us up again. And those feelings and discomfort, like on that roller coaster ride of life, seem to plunge us down as fast than we can ever imagine, creating that feeling as if you were coming off the ride, wandering like that tumbleweed in the desert of life, confused, unstable, where it seems like you can't maintain self-control. When you understand what happened, well, the understanding of what happened to you is in question. For some, they become downright impatient and become impulsive and reactive to the situation versus getting their bearings together and taking the appropriate steps to gain self-control. So we know that the fruits of the Spirit starts with love and it ends with self-control. Yet, if you lack understanding, and the reason we lack understanding at times because we lack patience to get understanding, we can find ourselves in a position such as our course, divorce course, I feel, with broken relationships because of lack. Communication becomes compromised. The inability to talk to one another to get the true meaning becomes compromised. And we lack the patience to sit down and go hour after hour till we break down, like doing a puzzle, till we take the breakdown and put the picture together that gives us the true meaning of the purpose of why we're in the relationship. And what was the purpose that we should be working together to develop that harmony that love gives when you're in a effective relationship where communication is all about getting understanding and displaying patience. See, the first attribute of love is patience. We can see that the prisons I feel with those who lack understanding and patience, looking for the quick way to make a buck, or anger causes them to harm someone because they lost self-control. They lack understanding and patience. The liquor stores, the drug dealers are filled with those who lack patience and understanding because they do not know who they are. They have been defined by the world's concept of who they should be, but due to lack of true self-examination and self-development through God's word, they quit too soon on themselves and they live from the definition defined by someone else, causing insecurity, lack of identity, and no hope for the future would require some patience and understanding to really know who God intended us to be. We see it every day. When we see all the chaos in society, we see lack of patience and lack of understanding, and nobody's trying to get it. We see a purpose. We see a focus that is, or let's just say we call it a mission. And that mission lacks that understanding. And that lack of understanding impacts the communication needed for the people involved to really gain the understanding to resolve the issue. And because we lack patience, we run, as I said, like that tumbleweed, gathering up anything and everything and reacting. And versus being proactive, we cause ourselves to be reactive. But God has something better for us. Hallelujah. Therefore, if we are truthful with ourselves, we come to realize that we don't necessarily have full understanding regarding our purpose for our lives or what we are to be, what is the process of fulfilling our full destiny from God's perspective. Therefore, unconsciously living lives are unfulfilled, incomplete, and lacking the beauty, as I said last week, of perfect peace, that matured peace that God gives us. You wouldn't see the chaos if the people had the perfect peace. The spiritual maturity to be able to sit down and talk and negotiate. I remember sitting with some generals. I said, you know, you can resolve this whole war with just a chess game. Lives don't have to be taken. Now, this is just a figure of speech when I say chess game, but people sitting down and talking, because after all the losses have been done, it still comes back to going back to the table, or we call it a sandbox, and coming to some reasonable working solutions that everybody can live with. But that requires understanding and patience. And many times, because we lack this, we have no full direction of which way to go. And because, again, some of the things that love is not, self-seeking, pride, we do not reach out to get asked for help. But we know if we reach out, God will help us, because when Peter said, Lord, help me, Jesus reached his hand down and he pulled him out of the storm. Many storms that we have don't have to be, because all we have to do is operate out of love and lower our pride. The elder of my church said today, because how often, and I say often all the time when I'm talking, I talk about love. Love increases your ability to have enough patience to gain the understanding necessary to circumvent those things that love is not. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Love does not keep a record of wrong. And because you have understanding, you have a better clear picture of why you need to keep a record of wrong. Love is not pride. Satan got kicked out because of pride. Pride get in the way. Pride is a division between the two trying to communicate. But if you lack that understanding that pride is what's governing your behavior, your attitude, your decision, then you will always have that division. So it is important, but I did not define understanding and patience last week, so I thought it'd be essential to give a somewhat general meaning from Webster's perspective and from a biblical perspective. From Webster's perspective, the meaning of understanding is to perceive the meaning of. You have heard it said that perception is everything, and it is. What perceived to be one way for one, if you dig deeper, and I'm a guy, old school, so I like The Murder, She Wrote, and Columbo, especially Columbo. It seems that by the perception of who are observing Columbo, he looked like he's just the bumbling idiot, and he don't know what he's doing. And many people, they had episodes where there were scholars, geniuses, as a matter of fact, and then when he caught the one genius, he said, you know, people test genius in many areas. I'm sure that you are a genius, because he tripped him up. But see, it was a perception of something, and the man didn't understand what Columbo was. Then it says, a grasp of an ideal or to thoroughly be familiar with. Well, we know that one cannot understand God unless you build that intense, intimate relationship so you can get familiar with God. To the point you go from familiarity to the point of intensity. You know that you know that you have a relationship with God. Why? Because you got understanding. How did you get understanding? Because you studied God's word and you got to know and build that intimate relationship. And then it will create the ability where you ever clearly the character and the nature of the of things that you're interacting with or the people you're interacting with. It gives you a clearer interpretation. So the Bible perspective says, understanding involves the cognitive, the spiritual, and the moral. While human efforts are called for, the ability to understand comes from God. The final test of understanding is obedience of God. See, when we become to develop and recognize obedience is better than sacrifice, we begin to move in the direction to really know God. Jesus understood this at the age of 14. Even though he was God down in the human flesh through Jesus, he still went in to sit with the scholars to get understanding. And he exercised patience because when his mother and father left, he still was standing. He was still there. He was willing to be patient enough to get the pearls, to get the depth, to get the meaning of the knowledge of God. So when he would go out at 30, he would be probably there, as I like my acronym PACE, preparation, attitude, the right commitment, the willingness to expect, and go out and execute. See, Jesus understood this. So in all things, he got understanding. The understanding is a gift from God. As you pray, and as Solomon was dreaming, he asked for knowledge and wisdom. But you see, as he got that knowledge, when he got that understanding to become wise, then it says the understanding has moral character. It does not preclude cognitive thinking from a human perspective, but it still builds that spiritual foundation. And then it tells us that acknowledging understanding must be, knowledge must be used in the correct way in order to get the understanding. Command us to trust in the Lord rather than rely on your own understanding. And there's scriptures to support this, Proverbs 3:5, Psalms 4:9. 3-4, Job 28:28, and etc. Therefore, it would seem reasonable that we get a better picture of understanding, and patience plays a significant part in our life and the impact it has on us and others. As I said, they are power twins that gives us the knowledge and wisdom to enhance our ability to move closer to the plan that God has for our lives in its fullest capacity. However, we ask the question why we are limited in truly operating in the sense of understanding and patience. And the word comes in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. This lack causes us to miss what God has done for us before we were even born. What did he do in Jeremiah 1:5? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nation. God had already been preparing us before we were even born. He had already had a plan for our lives. Hallelujah. Then, what God has prepared for us is through Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and faith. People feel hopeless because they don't understand. People feel hopeless because they lack patience. We are in a society today where everything needs to be done in a quick second. Everything needs to be done in that microwave concept. But it's important that we be patient. No farmer has ever planted a seed and saw a full crop the next day. No farmer. Even with all the pesticides and all the different things, hormones, whatever they put in these plants to date, no one still sees a harvest the next day. It takes time. It takes time to connect. Hallelujah. Then what God does not want for us, he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, that they may you sorrow as others who have no hope. Again, I know he was talking about people with transition, but again, we can say people have fallen asleep, truly fallen asleep, God's word, because God's word is alive. God's word can quicken our mortal body. For the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, if it lives in us, can raise us and quicken our body and get us prepared to move forward and give us that hope for the future. Jesus understood this because what did God establish us that we needed to know where our power come from, our resource, where it is written. It's in God's word. Jesus was tempted. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to the desert. That here was the tempted by, he was tempted by the devil. Jesus went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. And after that, he was hungry. The devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to be made into bread. But Jesus said, it is written, man is not to live on bread only. Man is to live by every word that God speaks. But how can you know what God speaks if you don't take the time to study his word so you can get understanding and all things get understanding. If you don't spend the quality time that requires for you to be patient so that patience can have his perfect work to help you to evolve and grow, how can you know what God's word is? How can you know what you can live on? Then the devil took Jesus up to Jerusalem, the holy city. And yet Jesus stand on the highest part of the house of God. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Suicide. It is written. He has told his angels to look after you. Jesus, even Satan knew was written. In their hand they will hold you up. Then your foot will hit against the stone. And Jesus said to the devil, it is written also, you must not tempt the Lord your God. See, even Satan knows the word. Now, why would your enemy know the word and you don't? You, as an individual, including all of us, don't know God's word? How can you fight your enemy if you know nothing about your enemy, but your enemy, the devil, who roams the area trying to kill, steal, and destroy, knows the word? And again, the devil took Jesus up to a very high mountain. He had Jesus look at the nation of the world to see how great they are. He said to Jesus, I will give you all the worship me. And Jesus said to the devil, get away, Satan. You must worship the Lord your God. You must obey, back to obedience, him only. Then the devil went away from Jesus, and the angels came and gave him. Hallelujah. See, God will always have the provision. He will always ensure that if the problem comes, he will give you the answers to the problem. He will come and he will comfort you. He will ensure that you get through the moment. But we have to have patience. Many times people want God to react in the moment when their crisis comes. But as I was speaking today, it's about consistency. It's about sticking in the race. It's about seeking God daily. It's about spending that quality time with God. It's about being patient enough to let God speak to you. It requires you to be patient enough that when he don't speak, you stay patient enough. Because you're seeking the understanding needed to be able to know what direction to take next. But we have to. Jesus understood that. Even though he was in the wilderness 40 days, the people of Israel was in the wilderness 400 years. Now the trade-off is something wrong here. See, if we follow Jesus, we won't be in the wilderness long. Because we understand that through exercising the patience to trust God to move on his time, as I saw some. And it said, not my plan, but God's plan. When we allow God's plan to work through being able to know what his plan is, because he gives us that understanding, it's easy to be patient. See, understanding and patience is essential for us to be true overcomers in this life. There are some principles that we can take to become more in tune with God's purpose for our lives, where we can gain a clear understanding to what approaches God would have us to take for the plan. And it will help us to become more effective in our relationships that would improve our ability to develop in communication, our conduct, realistic expectation. I meet people as they go to share what they expect, especially from God. In my mind, but everybody's right within their own mind, in my mind, the expectations may be slightly unrealistic. Not because we can't believe that God can do the impossible, but sometimes we have to deal with the possibility that we haven't done what we need to do so God can effectively work through us to do the impossible like he did with the disciples as well as Jesus. And also we have to look at certain things that will allow us to do that. We have to strive to develop the attributes of the fruits of the Spirit. So how do we go about that? We strive to become Christ-centered. Christ becomes our focus, our model, and realize that he's our move us away from being self-conscious to Christ-conscious. When we become Christ-conscious, we seek out to get understanding. In all thy ways, get understanding. We do not rely on our own understanding, but we rely on the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding that comes directly from God. This is what Jesus did. He did nothing without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And because Jesus was so wonderful, he decided that he would not leave us comfortless, that he would give us the power that he used. Hallelujah. He used that we could be more effective. Hallelujah. Then we have to change our inner motive. No matter what we do on the outward presentation, God knows the inner presentation. God knows our heart. So we have to be willing to be open enough to realize if our motives are wrong, probably our conduct going to be wrong. And if not in the interim, at some point, the darkness will come to the light. So we have to move away from self-seeking behaviors that lead us away from what God, what love is not, as we say, God is love, to what God is. And as we move and maintain that level of that Christ-centered attitude, we move forward to become more like Christ, where his attributes was about faith. He was an action individual. He got the knowledge. He knew and studied God's word. He maintained humility. See, one must lower their pride to acknowledge that they lack the understanding and the patience needed to truly operate in the attributes of Christ. Then we must diligently seek him. We must seek God's knowledge and wisdom in order that we can evolve to maintain, develop and maintain the capacity to be patient enough to get in all things understanding. And again, we must be obedient. Obedient in everything. See, Jesus said, if it be thy will, because he did not want to take on the cup. But if it be thy will, obedience shall be. And this would allow us to gain more control that will penetrate our soul, our will and emotion, to develop more of the attributes of Christ. Understanding and patience is essential principles that we want to work on our lives to be more effective in every aspect. And here is some of the benefits that comes with moving in the direction of Christ-like attitude or being Christ-centered in order that we too can gain understanding and wisdom through exercising patience that will allow us first to help us be more focused on the goal or the purpose that God has for our life. Next, it will allow us to be able to not make impulsive, irrational choices, but to be proactive and make rational choices. This is what happens when you gain understanding. Then it will shape our ability to be more persistent and to be more resilient in any given situation that may have some pushback. In the process of this, it will help us develop new skills in order to be more effective as we go along. When Moses started out, he walked in a certain level of fear. But once he went forward, that God started expanding and using him that he could take his rod and throw it down and have a snake to swallow the magician's, if you will. The skill set started to expand because the confidence expanded. And then from there, it will help us to be more effective leaders. They have various types of leaders out here now. They have transformational leadership, serving leadership. They have transactional leadership. They have various styles of leadership. One has defined where they fit. But I find that the servant leadership is the most effective leadership. And it because it has a stronger foundation of emotional intelligence. And one of the key attributes of emotional intelligence is self-awareness and awareness of others. So as you move forward and you search to get understanding in any given situation that you're in, it would allow you now to build ability to be an effective leader. Not one who is leading people down the wrong direction, or they are the, I call them the mini antichrist, leading you away from God's word, but the effective leader that leads you to understand God's word and allows you, and he or she, demonstrate the ability to be patient and understanding with the individual as they do or develop in their walk will help them, as we call it, discipleship, will help them to be more conscientious of the gifts that God gave them. This is the attribute that Paul had developed, and he was able to look at Timothy and say, stir up your gifts. Stir up your gifts, because we've all been given gifts. And as we're given these gifts, and see, the world doesn't really teach us this, that it has an emotional connection or a spiritual connection that solidifies that you're connected to the individual that you're interacting with. Most people are putting on the show. I think I think it was Paul, that had ran into a magician who was out there trying to do all these different things that they were involved, like they were caring about God or Christ themselves. But he showed them to be a charlatan. The many people out there who are doing, they found a good purpose, a good mission, a good ideal, and they run with it, and others run with it as well because it's a good ideal. But behind the scene, I like to call it, they are the wizard behind the curtain misleading people. And as they misleading people like the Pied Piper, he leads them to the sea and they drown. And they drown in drugs, alcohol, depression, anxiety, lack of self-identity, lack of self-esteem. They fall into the sea of misery and despair. And it doesn't have to be this way, because God says that we can have peace that surpasses all understanding. God says we can have unspeakable joy. God said we're the head and not the tail. God said we're above and not beneath. God said that we can do all things through Christ. God said that he would heal us. God said he would forgive us of our sins. God said he would redeem us from our own destruction. Why? Because it is written. See, as we move towards developing understanding about God's word and be patient enough to let patience have his perfect work, we begin to become the leaders, the people necessary to go out and fight the good fight of faith. It also will allow us to improve our mental health. We won't have to be depressed and sad, downhearted, downtrodden. Because now we have that confidence that God gives us. He tells us, cast not away your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. God gives rewards. And as I say these things, my spirit is telling me that we have to realize that this takes time, patience. This is not an overnight quick fix. This is, I rub your genie bottle, I dream a genie pops up, give you three wishes, and make things happen. No, this requires us to fight the good fight of faith, to stay in the race. Because God is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. It gives us, improves our physical health. Because we're not stressing, high blood pressure will go down. Diabetes will go down. Emotionally eating will stop. We will be able to change in these areas. And as we change in these areas, we begin to develop basically ability to operate in the fullness of the fruits of the Spirit. And in the end, it will help increase our faith. Because once we see it done once, as they say, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forevermore, we can see it being done again. If our goal is to allow understanding patience to have its perfect work, we can see the transformation that will change us from the ordinary soldiers in God's army to the leaders who are leading the army. Because we now really can fight the good fight of faith. So I tell you, as closing this out, that it's important that you seek, you move away from self-seeking behavior. And you move to a selfless behavior. And when you move to a selfless behavior, you begin an attitude and disposition. You move towards the ability to allow God to give you his understanding, his knowledge, his ability of discernment. And now you will receive the truth. And because he is the truth, he is the way, the truth, and the life, this truth will set you free. And once he sets you free, you are free indeed. So in all things, allow patience to have a perfect work. In all things, get understanding. It's not about right or wrong, because it's very rare you're going to hear anything in the Bible, read anything in the Bible that tells you it's about right or wrong. It's going to tell you to get understanding. As you get understanding, you get the clarity. And as you get the clarity, you get the meaning. As you get the meaning, you can teach it to a five-year-old, and a five-year-old can walk away with understanding. And as they walk away with understanding, now they can move in the right direction necessarily, not to be reactive, but proactive, to meet the destiny that God had already planned for them as well as ourselves. So that's the closing on that series. Now we move into the second part of my show, which is what my mom would always say, be brilliant and be gone. You give me two, which I'm not that brilliant. So she say, okay, be brief and be gone. As the preacher would say, I won't be before you long. Hallelujah. So this is about I pray, I believe, and I receive. What are you praying for? Do you truly believe that God is answering prayers when you pray? And believe? Do you really believe and trust that you will receive? This is one of the biggest issues with many people who pray but are not truly trusting that their prayers will be answered. It is not about a physical feeling that, oh, I feel. This is a spiritual thing. As he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But do you believe? See, we can hear these words, and then know that it says faith come by hearing, hearing of the word of God. But do you believe it? Now, as I said before, many people believe in a lot of things. Every day when people come home and they go and they sit at their dining room table and they sit in the chair, no one ever checks to see if the screws have been, the kid, your son could have been mad at you and unscrewed everything. So you sit down, you'll fall right on your tail. But nobody checks that out. Because they believe without thought or wonder that this chair is all ready to go and they can sit down. So we have to ask the question, what is our belief all about? It is a spiritual connection developed by that intimate relationship with God that Jesus had, that he knew what he could say unto the tree, that it would die in a few days because he knew that his Father would do. He believed that when he was going down the cross, that he already knew he was going to be victorious. When he went out to heal people, as Mary came about Lazarus, he was not reactive, which in most cases we would have wanted him to. He was proactive because he already knew in his mind in advance, because he believed that what he would pray would manifest. In other words, as he believed that he received. And if we say that we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us, if we say that Jesus said that we can say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, if we say that by his stripes we are healed, then this should be our stance. No waver, no doubt, no fear. Now, this, again, is not based on the physical way that we interact. As I'm learning and developing, this is not about my physical meaning, if you will, my cognitive, my ability, my outward views of things. This is about this spirit man. As he said, this new man that I have, this new creation, it operates in the same way that Jesus does. To believe that it would happen. And as Paul said, even if not, I still believe. Even if not. When the doctors told me my daughter would not live a day, I told them she'd be here. 5 years later, when they say, well, you know, I said, she'll be here. Come February, my daughter will be 28 years old. 13 ounces and later, 28 years old. So I could not go by what I see. I could not go by the report they gave. I had to go by the report that God gave that all things are possible through him. Now, to be all fair, she does not operate like you and I. She can't do many things. But the joy that she has, this unspeakable joy, this smile, if I could just shoot this smile across the big screen all over the nation, and it had the power to change people, believe me, it would change everything. With all the challenges, all the pain, all the things that she has suffered, she always never lets me down. She will smile. Matter of fact, in her worst pain, she will laugh. So you have to be very attentive, very patient. You have to get to understand her and know her. And if you don't know, you can't understand. Her mother is excellent in understanding her pain and her challenges and her suffering. To be able to quickly move and resolve it quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because she understands her and she was patient. And she, too, prayed, believed, and we received. Hallelujah. So, again, I'm not talking about what your body tells you because your flesh wages war against the spirit. What I'm talking about is operating with the childlike faith. I am talking about the faith that says, if I can touch his garment, I can be made whole. This is not carnal faith, people. This is the faith through the Holy Spirit, this blind faith. This is faith that has hope against hope. Why? Because it is written. It is faith. Hallelujah. So this week, Stand on the fact of the Holy Spirit. Stand on the fact that Jesus paid the price. Stand on the fact that God loves you. And away us from God, as the gentleman said in Romans, he said, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life. Neither angel or demon, neither our fears for today nor our worries of tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have to continue to walk by that faith. So when you pray, believe that you receive. Come expecting, because when you come expecting, you know what that says? That says you trust God. When my son comes to me, my son trusts that 99.9999% his dad is going to do it, or he going to find a way. Well, that's me. Now, God is 100%. As the young people say, 100, God is 100. It's just a soldier's perspective. Again, if you don't know God as your personal Lord and Savior, you haven't accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, or you feel that he lets you down and you turn your back on him, don't hesitate to declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He was born, he died, and he rose again for the sake of us. He's our Redeemer. He's the one that was willing to give of his life to save ours. No greater thing a man do than to lay down his life for a friend. And he calls us friends, not based on our behaviors, not based on society's standard, not based on man's perception, but only because of the love of God. This love is unmeasurable. This love is something that is beyond comprehension. Maybe the only thing we truly can't understand. But one day, as one of my friends from the Whiners would say in that song, we're going to have that golden opportunity to be with him. And as the gentleman said in another song, I can only imagine. This here is something you want to experience. It is not a magical you'll change right away. It is about being changed over time, being transformed. So again, in closing, check out all the other ministers and teachers who are trying to share at the song, telling the good news, going out and telling somebody. Check out KingdomBuildingPlaza@gmail.com. Contact the home office at 313-583-9739. And don't forget to sow into the ministry at www.giveify.com. GIVELIFY.com. And again, closing, pray for me as I always would pray for you, and let us watch the power of what God's love will do. Thank you for listening. This is Brother David, the Spirit of a Soldier. God bless you and have an amazing week.
You are born with a break. That grace is your gift.
The gift that looks good on you.
It's a divine enablement.
The gift that looks good on you.
If you work your grace, the grace will work for you. Company, teach the lesson.
The systems of the world will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems were designed to make you doubt what heaven said.
Don't you doubt.
The systems of the world will try to take your confidence.
They will.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.
The gift looks good.
Yeah.
And you wear it.
and you're wearing your gift well, God has graced you.